Hey, this is Jeremy. Just wanted to hop on before the episode started with a few announcements. We really want to hear from you, and perhaps the best way to do that, we actually have a subreddit now. It's just r/polyphonicpress, and I'll leave a link to it in the show notes. But it's always been my dream to have a community where we can all get together and talk about the albums that we review and just music in general. So if you want to join the community and start the community, really, because it's quite small right now, it's just r/polyphonicpress. And you can always help out the show in various ways. You can check out our Patreon and get these episodes the day before that they go live, and leave a rating and a review on Apple Music or Spotify or wherever you're listening. Those are great ways to get in touch with us as well. That's it. I just wanted to say that. And now on to the episode. Thank you.
Press, the podcast where two music fans pick a classic album completely at random. Using the patented random album generator, they are given an album to review from a curated list of over 1,000 classic releases, spanning multiple genres. And now onto the show. Here are your hosts, Jeremy Boyd and John Van Dyke.
Hey, welcome to Polyphonic Press. I'm Jeremy Boyd.
I'm John Van Dyke.
And let's not waste any time. We've got the patented random album generator right in front of us here. So let's hit the button and see what album we're going to be listening to this week. And the album we're going to be listening to is Hawkwind, Space Ritual.
Oh, interesting.
I'm not familiar.
They're sort of like a spacey glam rock band from the early 70s. I think Roy Wood was a part of the band. If I'm not mistaken. I don't know about this, you know, I don't know much about the band either, but.
So this is what it says on allmusic.com. It says, recorded live in December 1972 and released the following year, Space Ritual is an excellent document featuring Hawkwind's classic lineup, adding depth and weight to the already irrefutable proof that the group's status as space rock pioneers was well warranted. As the quintessential people's band, Hawkwind carried 60s counterculture idealism into the 70s, gigging wherever there was an audience. The band's multimedia performances were a perfect accompaniment for inner space exploration and outer space imagination. Though not concerned with rock's material trappings, Hawkwind was among the hardest working groups in Britain, averaging a show every 3 days during the year preceding the recordings. Given that, it's not surprising that the performances collected here are incredibly tight, though a couple of tracks were edited, incorporating most of Doremi Fossa Latido. The show of the Space Ritual Tour was conceived as a space rock opera and used blend of sci-fi electronics, mesmerizing sight grooves, heavy earthbound jamming, punctuated with spoken word interludes from astro poet Robert Calvert, and nude stage dancers. Though Calvert's intergalactic musings date the album, they provide fitting atmospheric frames for Hawkwind's mesmerizing sounds. Calvert's manic recital of author Michael Moorcock's Sonic Attack, the writer later fronted Hawkwind on several occasions live and in the studio, is an exercise in rippling tension that eventually gives way to a sonic explosion on Time We Left This World Today. Thanks in no small part to Nick Turner's otherworldly sax, Dave Brock's guitar distortion, and the earth-moving rhythm section of Simon King and Lemmy Kilmister, founder of Motorhead, the track is a signifier. It blueprints the album's most potent material, including Orgon Accumulator, 10 minutes of hypnotic Wilhelm Reich and of hypnotic Wilhelm Reich and roll that could be the missing link between Booker T. Jones and Stereolab. The pummeling bass blast and psych throb of Born to Go and the psychedelic garage jazz titled Lord of Light, a 1973 advertisement described Space Ritual as 88 minutes of brain damage that that characterization, while hyperbolic, contains a modicum of truth. The album's unhinged meld of prog, acid rock, proto-metal, science fiction, fantasy, and jazz jazz dates while making Hawkwind prophetically influential. Okay.
Yeah, it's long-winded. And I think I'm thinking of a different band when I'm thinking of Roy Wood. But yeah, this is a Lemmy's band back in the early 70s.
Okay. So this is a double album.
Okay.
So it's quite long. Where is it? Bass Ritual. Okay. So this was released on May 11th, 1973. And the genres are space rock, psychedelic rock, progressive rock, proto-punk, and hard rock. And because it's a double album, we'll treat each disc as, you know, part one and part two of the album. So if you're listening along, which we encourage you to do, we'll start with the album starts with the song Earth Calling. And the first disc ends with the song Brainstorm. So we'll do there, and we encourage you to listen along. And I've linked the album in the show notes on both Apple and Spotify, so you can get it on whatever your preferred service is. And I think without further ado, okay, so here we go. Here is Earth Calling, the first song. Okay, and ending part one of the album with Electronic Number One. This is wild.
Yes. It's the kind of psychedelic rock that when I think of like psychedelic rock from this era, I'm usually thinking more of things that are I guess a little bit more pop format, but not necessarily pop music, you know, shorter, you know, actually set together songs, think Incense and Peppermint, sort of things like that. But this is like clearly influenced like more modern psychedelic rock bands like King Gizzard and Psychic Ills and the OCs and bands like that, who definitely go on these wild jams and stuff like that and have really interesting, sometimes really sort of, I don't want to say difficult to listen to, but I want to say things that are a little bit challenging to listen to.
Well, yeah, this, I'll be honest, this was a bit challenging to get through. I didn't love all of it. I'm going to be honest. I liked it. I'm not upset or anything like that. Some of the songs went on a little longer than they could have. It's not that I don't enjoy long songs. It's just it got to be a little repetitive.
Yeah, there was some of those jams do get to be like, this is a live album too. So the live jams have a tendency to, you know, much like Grateful Dead or, you know, other bands like that have a tendency to jam for a while. These guys were sort of like the British Grateful Dead in a way.
Yeah. And I'm keeping that in mind. And I'm sure, like, I think being at their show is probably more of an experience than listening to it on an album. Having said that, there were a lot of interesting moments. There was I could hear some like early punk rock riffs in there.
Well, Lemmy Motorhead, who is sort of like the cross between metal and punk.
Yeah.
So
there was some stuff like that in there. And What song was it? I think it was maybe Down Through the Night. There was a part in there that sounded very punky, like power chords. But a lot of it honestly was, I don't mean this in a bad way, but a lot of it was, I wasn't paying attention to the music itself, but it was more like when we listened to that Kraftwerk album, where it was like sort of almost atmospheric and more like not background noise, but like, it's sort of meditative, I guess, sort of like not paying attention, not actively listening to the music itself, but sort of putting me in a state of
trance-like.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And no, I agree. And a lot of modern psychedelic rock is like that too. The live stuff anyway, for sure. But yeah, some of those other bands that I like to listen to sometimes, they'll occasionally do a long jam like that. Sometimes they get really experimental. So yeah, which I think is cool. But yeah, it's tough. Sometimes you gotta find the balance between finding like a good groove to like get people, you know, in a trance or something like that. But it's also kind of, you have to be sort of careful not to be too repetitive sometimes. There's a balance there.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the spoken word stuff, the review is kind of right. And like this came out in 73, I think. And
it's 1972 for the recording.
Recording, yeah. And so like talking the whole, there was a big, like everybody in the 70s was talking about space, and a lot of it had to do with the moon landing. I think that's really what kind of kicked off the
moon landing, the space race, the whole, yeah,
exactly. Yeah
space was big for, definitely. Well, it kind of started in the 50s where people were really talking about space, and the first TV shows that were set in space and stuff like that sort of came about. I mean, they were cheesy as hell, but that's kind of when it started. But it continued right on through the 70s and even into the early 80s.
Yeah, I feel like in the 70s, early 70s was really when it was really at its, it reached the like the mainstream sort of thing. Like it was really, like, yeah, there was,
you had Star Trek on TV, you had there's, you know, shows like Lost in Space and movies like Space 1999. Was that a movie or was that a show?
I'm not sure. Yeah. But yeah, well, 2001 A Space Odyssey.
2001 A Space Odyssey, definitely, that's a movie.
Yeah. So you had these things and the 70s, like that's, and music, it really sort of seeped into music in the early, late 60s and early 70s. You know, you had David Bowie doing Space Oddity. A lot of early progressive rock was tied to sort of space exploration. So that the review kind of dates it to that era a little bit. Or the, like the spoken word and stuff. But it, you know, that there's nothing really wrong with that. I think it's pretty cool actually. But
it's very,
yeah,
of its time. And, but that's a time I kind of like visiting media wise anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really very interesting. Yeah. It's like, there's not much in terms of like singing and vocals, and lyrics and listening and trying to dissect lyrics,
more to do with, you know, getting into the sort of the feeling of the jam.
Yeah. Yeah.
Embrace
the jam. Exactly.
Embrace the jam.
but stay away from the jelly. So I guess we'll get into the second half of the album, and it starts with the song Organ Accumulator. So here we go. All right. And ending the album with Welcome to the Future. Yeah, that was quite something. I mean, that was, yeah, I mean, more of the jammy sort of stuff. And it was, I mean, yeah, there, it was pretty cool.
Yeah. I don't know what else to say about it that I haven't already touched on before. Yeah. A couple of those songs, I think I, started to really get into, like, I think Brainstorm was really cool. And what was the other one that I thought was really cool? Master of the Universe is pretty cool.
That was pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that one.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it, again, it was more of, like being in that sort of trance sort of state, not necessarily paying attention to a lot, although I would check in here and there. And yeah, and I think that's not a bad thing. I think that's sort of what the,
that was the intention.
That's the intention. And, you know, when you're taking certain substances, that, you know, I'm sure that enhances the experience.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it, it's, I'm sure being at the concert there on those substances would be pretty spectacular. Yeah. So, you know, I think, listening to it sober, is a different experience. I can definitely appreciate the musicianship.
Yes. Yeah, you can definitely tell it's Lemmy's bass. It's very, it's got that fuzzy thing. It sounds like his Rickenbacker.
It definitely, yeah, you can tell that that's, but he's playing like with Motorhead, it's very like simple bass lines and loud and really in your face. He's playing these very melodic bass lines here. And just like, I don't want this to sound like, disparaging him or anything, but I didn't know he was that much of a bass virtuoso. Like, you know, like with, cause with Motorhead, it's really just about the loud sort of, in your face sort of punchiness of the whole thing.
If you really listen to some of the Motorhead stuff, like he's actually doing, he's doing it really fast, but he's actually got like, he's got chops.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah, he's playing well. I mean, the drummer, him and the drummer were playing really well together. Even though it was a little bit all over the place, they were sort of, you know, going together. And yeah, I can tell a lot of it was improvised. A lot of it was, a lot of the jam was improvised and they sort of didn't quite know where they were going. It did have a lot of Grateful Dead influence in that sort of, it wasn't exactly like progressive rock where this, the songs are very, can be very structured. And even though they're long, they're sort of, they don't improvise a whole lot. This is more loose, a little more jammy.
Yeah,
you know,
this is very definitely psychedelic rock.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, done very well. Yeah, I think this is a really great album. It was hard to get through at first, but I sort of fell into it. And yeah, it's great. I mean, so the question then, I guess, is would you listen to this one again?
Yeah, I probably would. Even if it wasn't like all like as an album, I probably listened to bits of it in a playlist for certain. But even as an album, it holds up. Like it's an experience.
Yeah, it definitely is.
So
yeah, I think I would definitely listen to this again as an album. Like I would probably put it on again. Definitely. Definitely would. So I guess we'll end the episode there. Thank you so much for listening if you made it this far. We want to hear from you, whether you agree or disagree with our review of the album. You can let us know by going to the contact page of the website at polyphonicpress.com. And while you're there, you can get previous episodes and all sorts of cool stuff. And you can, if you feel inclined, you want to help us out, you can go do that by going to patreon.com/polyphonicpress for about $5 a month. You can get these episodes a day early before they go live, and that really helps out the show. And I think that just about does it. I'm Jeremy Boyd.
I'm John Van Dyke.
Take it easy.